Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, happy Friday morning to you, and welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark, that's Kim, that's Ethan over there. Carl Middleman has the day off, and we'll get Sue Thomas in here shortly with more on your traffic and everything else that may be going on. And basically, I think most of the traffic today, Kim, is going to be in front of Schnucks and Aldi's and Deerberg's as people get bread and milk for Snowmageddon, because it's coming on Sunday, apparently.
My sister was saying the Walmart pickup orders for Sunday and Monday, as of yesterday, were completely taken.
Oh, I'm sure. There's. I ventured into the Farm and Home out there in St. Charles yesterday on Mid Rivers Mall Drive, and they've got the big stacks of ice melt out front. I bought a couple of bags of sand, the 50, 60-pound bags of sand, just to put in the back of my truck to weight down the back end of it a little bit. I mean, it helps. And there were all kinds of people in there buying gloves and hats. And, I mean, shovels. They had all the shovels out, I guess. It's been a while since we've had to deal with any significant snowfall. Looks like we might get that this time. You know, I promised you this yesterday. We were going to get meteorologist Dave Murray on live. Live, local, and late breaking this morning. Dave Murray is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour today. You do realize he doesn't live here anymore, and he actually lives in several different time zones away from us. So getting him on at 8 is still like 6 a.m. his time. So we were lucky enough to get him scheduled on this morning, and he'll give us the full rundown, the real scoop on what's supposed to happen on Sunday. I did watch, let's see, Scott Connell's report on this yesterday from News Channel 5. And, you know, he's like, listen, the amount of precipitation, the amount of moisture that's going to be in the air, it is not hyperbole or us trying to blow this out of proportion to say that in areas north of St. Louis, you could get a foot of snow.
Great.
So, I mean, north. He said he's talking Macoupin County and places north in Illinois. He said, well, up there, a little north of us, they're going to get more snow. And here, we're more likely to get ice and snow. So we'll see what happens. Should be interesting.
When you don't have anywhere to go, I can really appreciate a foot of snow. When it's Sunday night and it's starting to come down around, what did they say, midnight?
Is when Saturday night at midnight is when it's going to start coming down. It's going to snow all day Sunday, and it's going to not end until Monday sometime. So they'll have a little bit of time to work on the roads.
Well, churches are going to be working furiously trying to clear the parking lots on Sunday morning.
Yeah. They'll be working on getting their live feed up so people can watch it from home. Aren't they? Don't they all do that these days?
A lot of them.
For the most part. I mean, I think that's pretty much how that works out. Anyway, so much to get to today. Yesterday, there was a court ruling regarding the prosecutor's situation in St. Louis County. We are going to deal with that for you today, just kind of explain where it all stands. My friend Beavis Shock, local attorney, has been covering that case. He's not surprised by the outcome, I don't think. But my question to Sam Page I might just start calling him Steve Stinger because he's just about as corrupt, I think. But why in the hell is he wasting taxpayer money to continue to appeal this all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court? I mean, honestly, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you one reason. Because Sam Page is hungry for power, and he's angry that the state has put limits on his power. Heaven forbid we get another COVID or bird flu emergency. Sam wants it really clear that he's in his own little fiefdom in St. Louis County. He can do whatever the hell he wants. And so far, that's been rejected by two different courts. So we'll see. If it makes it to the Supreme Court, they may not even agree to hear it. But we'll get the latest from our friend Beavis on that just a little bit later. I promise you that. Lots of good stuff to get to. Congressman Eric Burleson on a little later in the 7 o'clock hour, talking about the fight in Washington for the speaker's position. And in fact, when we get to the shortlist right now, Ethan, we're gonna deal with that situation first. Hit it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You can pull all my fingernails out. You can shove bamboo up in them. You can start cutting off my fingers. I am not voting for Mike Johnson.
Dope. That's Thomas Massey leaving zero to the imagination of the many ways you could torture him, and he would still not vote for Mike Johnson today. So that's one vote down for sure. How many others might follow?
Speaker Johnson, why are there still undecideds before this election? One day before the election, why are there still undecideds?
People are talking through process changes they want and those kinds of things, and I'm open to that, and I think tomorrow's going to go well.
What's your message to the undecideds?
Yeah, we're hopeful at this point that maybe the other people, Chip Roy, Eric Burleson, there's a long list of people who were very unhappy with him over that CR. We'll talk to Eric Burleson and his take on it a little later today. Stay tuned for that.
First and foremost, let me be very clear about this point. This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act.
Yeah, I love that. At least we're getting a little evidence about what's happened here in Las Vegas. It was a terror attack. When you blow something up to scare the hell out of people, you are terrorizing them no matter how you look at it.
Yellow archers, where did they come from?
Actually, we have them. I didn't know about them, but we have them. And so we have been able now to put them out.
That is the... I can't call her elderly. That is the aging police chief in Las Vegas who has bounced around all over the country, who's been controversial and apparently her biggest strength as a leader is teaching DEI. And she somehow got hired to run the New Orleans Police Department and did not know about the barriers available to block off Bourbon Street. She admitted that in an interview. I don't know. I don't understand how the woman still has a job. I just don't know. After listening to her yesterday, I just don't know. How do you keep... So there was a common joke in the television news business that it doesn't matter how bad a news director is. When they leave and there's an opening somewhere else, it's like there's a common courtesy to automatically interview them and maybe hire them at some other TV station because they've already screwed up the one they just left. I don't understand it. I don't know why you wouldn't do more background before you did that. But once you've secured the title of news director at a television news station, you can get hired anywhere. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Must be the same thing on police chiefs.
How long has she been chief there in New Orleans?
I don't, a couple years. I don't know.
So she's talking about these bollards, right?
Yeah.
These barricades that weren't even functioning at the time. First of all, I know they're saying that they were being repaired in preparation, I guess, for the upcoming Super Bowl, which I get. That's very important. But why would you not have timed it differently, considering that New Orleans has to be a top destination in the country for even New Year's Eve? Because of Bourbon Street, would you not have repaired these bollards or whatever they're called sooner? Unless they just happen to be, broken, what, like a week ago. I get that. But I feel like you would have timed it a little bit better.
I heard somebody say that it may have been Byron Donalds. $40 million was allocated, maybe some of it federal money, to making sure they had the money to secure downtown New Orleans. His question was, where's the money? Where'd the money go? And I don't know the full answer to that. Apparently, what she was referring to are things, something called archers, which are different than bollards. The bollards are those big steel posts that recess into the street. And when you need them, you push a button and they pop up out of the ground, and then trucks and stuff can't drive through them. These archers are a little bit different than that. I believe they're almost like a movable device that has big orange barriers that flip up, and it's sort of designed like an L. So if a car hits it, the weight of the car is holding down the front of the thing to the tires would sit on the front of it as it struck it, mm-hmm. and would prevent it from being able to roll over these archers. Her point was they had those, and she wasn't even aware of it. I mean, how is that
That's
possible?
That's pretty sad.
How is that a thing?
I also was asking the reporter yesterday we were speaking with from New Orleans if those bollards, or I guess in this case too, the archers, if they extended all the way, not just on the road, but on the sidewalk. Because part of the issue is this guy went around a police cruiser and drove on the sidewalk to be able to access Bourbon Street.
In most cases, they are. In most cases, they do extend the sidewalks because you don't want them to be able to get around it at all.
Well, I'm thinking of those giant potted-looking things that they've put across the city of St. Louis to try to prevent people, you know, where you're driving down and you realize it's a one-way street. Man, you go anywhere in, like, North City,
dead-end
have
street.
Fun with that. It's like, it is dead-end nation where you just are constantly being rerouted.
Yep. If you can just redirect those criminals, they'll just go away. It just seems to make this
It'll probably deter them. You know, but after like the fifth time of being turned around, they're like, you know what? This crime just isn't worth it.
No
I'll
criminals
murder another day.
Allowed. No criminals allowed. Pretty much seems to be the answer to it. I don't know. Coming up here on Kim and a Whim at the bottom of the hour. I don't know if you saw the headlines or not, but another business is relocating from downtown St. Louis, and crime is the very obvious reason. And we are going to talk more about that at the bottom of the hour because it's a big story and one that Kim and I both have some experience with working in media in downtown St. Louis. It's just sad, actually, that it's come to this after all these years. We'll take a quick break here. Ethan, who's lined up for the national anthem?
You already know. It's our Friday favorite.
Oh, it is. It's Friday. Well, I was thinking it was Thursday. Hit it. Claiming that there was initially claiming there was no terrorism down in this situation in New Orleans, right? They had John Miller on, who used to be pretty high up in he worked for the New York police, and then he worked for Homeland Security for a while. And he even CNN couldn't believe they said what they said. And Miller pointed out the obvious thing here, I think. Listen.
It's why every time I have ever done this in my life, I have started out by saying, the information we're going to give you is preliminary. You can expect, parentheses, the first story is never right.
Yeah, I mean, look,
you can expect it to shift and change. But I'm going to tell you what we have now.
But
here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. Here's when we'll get back.
I do think that there was a definitiveness to some of this information. At the beginning, they said it's not a terror attack. Again, there's
that one I can't figure out.
In law enforcement,
you got a truck with a giant ISIS flag flying down the street.
I'm a journalist. I'm used to law enforcement.
Yeah, as a news anchor, how about shutting the hell up and letting the guest answer the question, first of all? But beyond that, to his point, everybody in the world could see the ISIS flag on the truck. And for them to look into the camera and say, this is not a terrorist event, is people don't buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Holman says he still thinks the two cases are connected somehow.
I feel like they are, too. I was very shocked when they're trying to say that there's no connection. How many hours did they happen apart?
What are the odds they both used the same rental company? What are the odds they both served on the same military base?
Thank you.
There are just so many connections here. The one guy was just a confused white guy whose wife left him a week ago. And, well, you know, he just happened to commit suicide before the truck blew up. The way they stated that, it almost sounded like it was two different incidents, right?
I'm also shocked that they're trying to say that this Jabbar guy in New Orleans acted alone. I'm wondering if there was still someone else who was in some way involved.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised, particularly if they found pipe bombs. So in other words, if they found IEDs in garbage cans around this street, do they now believe he's the one that set them?
Good question.
And if not, I haven't heard anybody explain that. Maybe I missed that part of the news conference. But here's the thing. On CNN, they want to somehow claim that the border's not a problem. This is not evidence of a problem at the border. And right, so far as we know right now, it doesn't have any connection to the border. But that disgruntled Americans are the biggest threat to the world. Well, one of them was clearly radicalized by ISIS. I don't know what was going on with the other guy. But there's no way you're blowing up a Tesla truck in front of a Trump hotel without trying to send some kind of a message. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Just don't do that. There's no way that wasn't some sort of a message. He didn't randomly rent a Tesla, park it in front of a Trump hotel and blow it up. And then don't tell me he's a Trump supporter. None of that makes any sense to me whatsoever. Here's what Joy Reid wants you to believe over at MSDNC, which nobody watches, but I'm going to play the bite for you anyway, because she's insane. Listen.
The lies started, as many lies do, on Fox, when the network erroneously blamed open borders for the attack, citing anonymous sources that claimed the New Orleans suspect's truck crossed the southern border in Eagle Pass, Texas, 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's not what Fox reported, because we had Griff Jenkins, who was the reporter on that, on the air yesterday, and this is what Griff said.
That's right. So it's interesting. So to be clear, because there's some people, attacking us saying that we confirmed it crossed the border from Mexico. We don't have that confirmation from them. What we do know is that plate readers in the border town of Eagle Pass along the border did pick up that license plate of that truck. Now, sources told me and David Swent that they do not believe that the person, Shahshadeen Jabbar, that was in this horrific attack was driving the vehicle then. But because it was a rental vehicle, it appears that factually law enforcement has gotten plate hits from plate readers, as they say, of that truck in Eagle Pass.
That's all Fox reported.
Mm-hmm.
As any good reporter would have reported that. What do we know about the truck?
It's part of the story.
Fox, now MSNBC is out there claiming that Fox is spreading disinformation to falsely claim the border is not secure. This is what you get with the mainstream media these days. When we come back, Kim on a whim, we're going to talk more about News Channel 5 leaving downtown.
Kim on a whim.
Well, another downtown business bites the dust. KSDK is leaving downtown St. Louis after having been somewhere in downtown because they've moved a couple of times, but they've been in the downtown area for 78 years.
Yeah.
They plan to stay in the city limits, and they've not yet said where exactly that'll be, the new location. They said they're still finalizing a lease, but they plan to sell the building. They own that. And if you've driven here in downtown, you know where KSDK is. This is a big deal. To me, this is just another example of a business fed up with lack of safety and parking issues, because I know that a lot of the employees for KSDK have to park at the parking garage that's across the street from the actual building and walk. Well, we know that you work all hours of the day for a TV station, so you would probably have people who are having to walk that at, you know, 2 a.m. And that's just not safe.
Yeah, the thing about it is that Channel 5 had a particularly difficult parking situation down there. They constantly had to park their trucks out back on the street, and the employees were always fighting for the few parking spaces that were on the street right there next to Channel 5, because if you couldn't find one of those and keep going out and plugging the meter, you had to walk a block and a half to the Stadium West parking garage, probably. Here's the sad part. What took them so long? How many times over the years, I'd love to know the number of times they had employees either with their cars broken into or physically robbed, mm-hmm. walking back and forth to work. So the fact that they hung around as long as they did is pretty amazing. Because when I worked at Channel 4 for years, you know, Channel 4 was down there at One Memorial Drive, right in front of the Arch. There was parking under the building, but you only got to park under the building if you had a title, right? Or you were one of the main news anchors. When I worked mornings as the news anchor, they let me park under the building, but I had to share the spot with the evening anchor. Like there weren't very many spots down there. Everybody else had to park, walk across the street to the Stadium East parking garage, or to save money, many of us would park down at the Midas lot down on Broadway, where there were multiple car break-ins all the time. I can't count. Some people just started leaving their windows down, because if you parked down there, there was a better than even chance you'd get your car broken into parked in downtown.
Well, and there were car break-ins at Stadium East, too, when I was there, because I had to park there for a while.
Sure.
And then I argued, yes, I'm just a reporter, I'm not an anchor, but I said I work sometimes until 11 o'clock midnight, because I worked the night shift for the 10 p.m. news. I said, I don't feel safe walking back to my car in Stadium East at 11:30 at night by myself. I just am not comfortable with that. So if I'm going to be the only female reporter working this time slot who doesn't have a spot in the underground one, right. I'd like that to change.
Right. Right.
And it did eventually.
Well, I mean, Channel 2 moved out a while back, right? They moved out to Westport, basically.
Which is where
Maryland
Channel
Heights.
4 went.
Channel 4, new ownership, came in and bought them a brand new building and completely rehabbed it out there right next to Worldwide Technology in Maryland Heights. I don't know what's taking Channel 5 so long, and I don't know why they're staying in the city at all. Now, obviously,
either.
What they stressed in this article is that they're going to find a location with secure parking on the site where their employees can be safe when they park their cars. They made that a point in the press release.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, and then you can bet the city probably, they went to the city. The city probably tried to give them some sort of tax break or something to stay where they were, but ultimately they made the decision to move. Now, here's my challenge to my own ownership here at Odyssey St. Louis. When are you going to move us? We've had repeated problems with break-ins in the parking garage of the building we're in. And nobody wants to have to park on the street down here at all. We've had people shot two blocks away, execution style. We haven't. No employees of the radio station, but you know where that happened, right over here by the on the other side of the U.S. Bank building. Mm-hmm. At some point, it it doesn't make sense from a liability perspective for a company to continue to subject its employees to that. And I don't know when, you know, any company that doesn't have secure parking has to worry about that all the time. So what my question would be, number one, I wonder what took them so long. Maybe because they own their building and lot. Sorry, Johnny Lundoff Jr. They own their building, which means they're not moving out because the rent's too high. They own the building. I guess they're going to take their $5 or $6 million that the building's worth, and they're going to move somewhere else in the city.
I'm just trying to figure out where you would go in the city where everyone's going to feel safe. You'll have ample parking, ample security, all of the things that they're looking for. They still will have that 1% earnings tax. I would think you'd want to get rid of that. I understand the concern of, well, there are people who maybe work on the Illinois side and you don't want to elongate their commute. And I can get why that would ruffle some feathers, but surely there has to be a solution. Why would you not just go barely into the county?
Don't call me Shirley.
Nice,
I'm
Mark.
Just kidding. I don't know the answer to that. Listen, I've been following this debate online this morning, and Jane Duker is into it with some guy who's he's one of these people who is first and foremost he's a city guy, and he won't take any criticism of the city at all, ever. You're like, you're not allowed. If there's a murder in the broad daylight at Kenner Plaza, he's somehow defending it. And, you know, I've watched Jane argue with him over this over and over and over again. But at the end of the day, you can't get around the fact that this is a challenge, and it's about security. Dennis Boganovich is the guy's name who wants you to believe the city's thriving and there's no crime problem here. He'll always say, I've lived here for X amount of years and I don't see this problem, and I walk downtown any time of day and night. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. This is a problem. I saw where Chris Negus, who used to work over Channel 4, also quoted it as saying that the story cites the need for safe and secure parking. But there's no way to dress this up. It's a blow for downtown. That KSDK is having to move because of these challenges.
Mayor Tashara Jones should have to answer to some of these businesses who she's tried to incentivize with ridiculous incentives to come start downtown. Maybe the one, you know, restaurants, something like that, who rely on these other businesses being here for employees to go there over the lunch hour, and like fly, they're dropping like flies one after the next. I mean, what was the wasn't it the big marketing firm that just moved its headquarters from, was it Fleishman Hillard?
Yep.
Was that it? They just announced earlier, a few months ago, they were leaving downtown St. Louis. We mentioned Channel 4, now KSDK. I'm sure I'm missing some. Then surely KSDK is not the last one. This is going to continue happening until something is done to actually address the crime issue. People don't feel safe. To your point, Mark, I've been chased by homeless people when I've been driving into work. That's not any, I didn't like that feeling. I shouldn't have to deal with that.
Right. They're unhoused, Kim.
I'm sorry. I've been chased by unhoused people.
Policing. It just gets down to common sense. And the city of St. Louis politicians have abandoned common sense. They've buried it in an unmarked grave somewhere, and you'll never find it again. I don't care if it's Kara Spencer or Tashara Jones or most of the other 15, 14 members, however many there are in the Board of Aldermen now that they've reduced it. If you don't understand at a cellular level that you can't exist in a major metropolitan area without enough policing, then you should resign your job tomorrow. You are doing a disservice to the people that you represent if you've ever voted to defund the police or not fund them enough or give them the money they need. You know, I had a friend relate this to me yesterday, and it's a sad truth in the city. And I'm gonna look this up because I don't want to get it wrong. What was pointed out to me that the biggest part of the problem here is that this is not complicated. A county police sergeant now makes what the city assistant chief makes. Does that make sense? A sergeant in the county makes as much as the assistant police chief in the city, plus they get a car. So in effect, they make about $30,000 more a year than their counterparts in the city. And the point here was, if you pay the police like your life and livelihood depend on it, it makes a difference. Then you raise the standards for the city. And then you have, you know, more people might want to take that job. Instead, they go out on the streets every day. They risk their lives. And they get very little respect for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is reflected in a lot of ways, where they have trouble filling classes at the academy. And then after a couple years of experience of that, day after day being asked to work overtime, constantly having to work seconds all the time to make ends meet, why would you not be attracted to a job in the county or some other county?
Well, one of the biggest things they did that I thought was a step in the right direction, and this was several years ago. Remember, they moved that they removed the requirement in the city where you had to live in the city to work for St. Louis Police. Do you remember that?
Police, that was the city right workers, firefighters.
That was the right move, in my opinion.
And a lot of them moved.
Yeah. Because they, even though they are the ones who are patrolling these streets, they probably realize this is not a safe area to live.
Well, it's just, here's the thing. If I don't, you know, if you make $60,000 a year, for example, and you're forced to live in the city, you have no choice but to send your kids probably to a city school.
And pay the earnings tax.
Right. But you don't have the option or the income to afford a private school education in many cases, parochial, Catholic education, private Christian school, whatever you want to look at. If you're only making 60 grand a year and having to work double shifts all the time to make ends meet, you can't afford to do that. So when they lifted that, of course, everybody left the county that could have, or left the city that could afford to. The city's created its own morass down here, its own mess, and they don't want to face what they need to do to fix it. And mm-hmm. Channel 5 announcing that they're leaving. I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision for them. I'm a little surprised they've agreed to stay in the city. The city must have thrown some sort of major tax break to them to get them to consider relocating to an area that they consider safer, that has secure parking for their employees.
I'm just very curious to see where they're going to go. It says by the end of this year, this will be done. They'll have moved.
Well, they won't have moved. I think by the end of the year, I don't know how they could buy a building and retrofit it.
Well, I don't,
before the end of the year.
It says the move from 1000 Market Street to a new location is expected by the end of 2025.
Wow.
That's what it is saying in the KSDK article.
Because what she said in there was, we're going to have a state-of-the-art facility wherever we move to. They're going to have to retrofit something. If they can get that done in a year, God bless them.
Well, that's how eager they are, I guess, to get out of downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, no surprise to me here. And with any luck, my radio group here will do the exact same thing. Move us out to Westport. You save money on the earnings tax and it's safer environment. No doubt about that. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to a Beavis Shock next hour. He's a local attorney who's been looking at this struggle between the county of St. Louis and the state over who gets to appoint the prosecutor. So far, it's 2-0 for the state, but it might go to the Supreme Court. We'll be back in just a minute.
For the final time as president, I have the privilege of bestowing the Presidential Citizens Medal, one of our nation's highest honors, on an extraordinary, and I mean an extraordinary, group of Americans. The Citizens Medal recognizes, quote, citizens of the United States of America who performed exemplary deeds of service to their country and to their fellow citizens.
You know, my guess is this was something they dreamed up at the last minute. I know Presidential Medal of Honor recipients. I've been to one of those ceremonies one time. In fact, when Stan Musial was given the Medal of Freedom, I believe, under Barack Obama, I got to go cover that. I think it was one of the last interviews Stan Musial ever did on TV when we talked to him there in D.C. But watching Biden do this, it's like, what can we throw out there that might stick on the wall and try to improve his standing in the eyes of people here as he goes out the door? Now, I'm glad he's honoring some first responders. I heard that on the way in this morning that some of these people are getting in these awards. Where's he been for 4 years? Why is it happening in the last 20 days of his presidency? And why is he giving any sort of an award to Liz Cheney? That one sticks in my craw, I have to say. I do not understand that. Go to cut five, please.
Elizabeth L. Cheney, for putting the American people over party.
I don't know who was reading that. Was that Jill? Was that Dr. Jill awarding the Presidential Citizens Medal for lying to the public? Because that's what happened. She was lying to the public. Byron Donalds probably said it better than I could about how he feels about it. Listen.
My reaction is I'm highly offended, but I'm not surprised. Joe Biden and his White House have lived in the bizarro land where no other Americans really exist. That's why the presidency under Joe Biden has been an abject disaster. This is just one of the last pieces of icing on that cake. Look, everybody knows that the fake January 6th committee, the only purpose was to basically put a lot of propaganda out into the information stream to go after and attack Donald Trump. It failed, completely backfired. They suppressed information. They tampered with evidence. There's reports out there that they were actually tampering with witnesses sitting in front of that committee, something that has frankly never happened in the halls of Congress, happened with this J6 committee. So for them to be rewarded for, frankly, the lack of transparency and honesty they gave to the American people is disgusting. But why are we surprised? This is the presidency of Joe Biden, the very worst presidency in the history of our country.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of what happened with the J6 committee, he's absolutely right. They tampered with witnesses, did everything they could to paint Donald Trump as some sort of insurrectionist. He was never charged with insurrection. None of that had anything to do with insurrection. She libeled and slandered him all over the place. And the Biden administration gives her a freedom medal as they go out the door. It's the embarrassment continues for anybody connected to the Joe Biden administration. How embarrassing. All right, coming up, we'll get to this issue of whether the state or the county has the right to announce the next prosecutor. So far, the state is winning. We'll talk to Beavis Shock in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.